Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
And that's the last time I buy a book from him. Ooh, forgot we're live. To get that content, you're going to have to pay for our bonus footage on
the paywall.
Yeah. Do we still do that? Do we do bonus content? Do we do?
We haven't in a long time, dude. We just, I think we've been so busy. No time for bonus content.
We're going to start making you people pay for this content. It's so expensive to do this every month.
Subsidize my hobby.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast, season 4, episode 16, recording this on a good old Wednesday night, April the 17th, 2024. Dude, it's actually starting to look like a background, you know, behind you. It's actually looking previously to what you looked like in Texas with all your omnibuses.
So I got the shelf up. To my left over here is eventually going to be like a bookcase for like my novels, but I got to pick out a new one because the ones I brought didn't make it in the move. Didn't really last. And then I'm going to put up some slabs and stuff on the walls. But here's the deal. So my desk, you can't see it. It's like an L-shaped, right? And so right now I'm looking at like the TV where, you know, I game at and everything like that. But I did have to do a Teams meeting for like work, and and I will work from home a little bit with the new job, and so I will have to be on like Teams meetings, and I realized like I can't be having like all these omnibuses in the background for like Teams meetings. Like, it's just not super professional. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll come to this side and I'll face with the back. But I was planning on putting like pictures and like art up on the wall over here, like comic book stuff.
So glad this is a visual podcast for everybody.
I know, right? But yeah, I gotta figure
out. I always blur my background if I work from home, because I'm so afraid of like if I move the camera somewhere.
Right. So Teams has those like background filters. Oh, yeah. Right? Be like you at the beach. I just think that's even goofier, to be honest. Like, there's actually one in like a home. It's like a very modern looking home.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've seen them. I have Teams. Yeah, right? I work with it. Believe me. I get it. I know.
Yeah.
There's one that one of my coworkers use. I forget if it's a female or male, but they actually, it's like them. It's like a big blown up picture of them behind them. You know what I mean? So it's like so obnoxious, but it's also so funny that it's like them behind themselves.
Yeah. I mean, my career doesn't really lend itself to that kind of like humor. I don't know if I can do something like that in the background.
No. But I know the Teams one. So yeah, there's the office look, there's the beach one.
But the room's coming together. It's coming together. Nice. There's a lot of crap still everywhere, but we're getting there.
Awesome. So we definitely have a packed show. We have a lot of Marvel comics dropping over the next few months. So we're going to get into it. Let's get into some of the comic book community questions. Of course, you could always find this typically on our Instagram. We typically put it in the stories, but you could always just send us messages directly to the Comic-Con podcast at gmail.com or any of our Instagrams, Milton Manimal, Nemesis Prime, and the Comic-Con podcast. So first one comes from our buddy, Paperweight Collects. And I know he kind of asked this question like about 2 months ago, and it's still kind of tough to answer this question, but we're going to do the best we can. 4 months into 2024, are you finding reads better from this time last year or the same-ish? You know what the problem is? I'll start off. The problem with answering this question, and Zach and I talked about this, is we don't really remember what came out 4 months in 2023, like from January to April. Like, we just been reading. I mean, you know, I guess, to be honest, I guess the way to do this was probably just to go back to like the first couple episodes of last year, right? We could have just
That would have been the smart decision, right?
To answer this question. That would have been like, but then that's like doing research and too much time spending, like, hey, what were we reading in January through April of last year. But
yeah,
I'm going to just say, just in a general sense, I'm going to say it's better. I think titles that are coming out this year are definitely better than last year at this time. And that's just ballparking it. If I do the research, if Paperweight asks this question in 2 months, when he asks 6 months into the year, I will do my research and I will actually look, go back to last season 3's episode and actually look. What about you? What do you think?
Oh man. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I guess I'm probably going to kind of say, I don't know if I want to say better. I think it's good though. Cause like you said, I can't remember what it was like last year, but when I think about the titles I get, including my ongoings, like, you know, the long titles, like the X-Men ongoings, Wolverine's X-Force, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff, the ongoings, even those seem to be really strong right now. And I'm really enjoying them. And so if I go back and I just think of like my month pull list of all the books, how many on the top of my head am I like unhappy with? And it's a pretty low number. Like I'm actually really enjoying what I'm reading right now, even in these mainstay titles, which, you know, as we all know, as a collector and a reader, ebb and flow, right? Like you can read a run for a long time and like the arc is great for 8 issues. It drops for 4 or 5, comes back. And so boom, boom, boom. But I'm really enjoying everything. I will say, and I'm saying this, I'm looking at Titans number one right now. My DC reads are really low. I only read Batman, like the main title. I'm reading Titans, Green Lantern, Penguin. And that might be it right now for DC. I'm not really venturing too much into DC, but all those titles I'm reading in DC, strong, real strong, really enjoying all of them. So yeah, I think my general consensus is I'm really enjoying the reads this year so far, this first 4 months.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely, I think that'd be a cool thing to do in a couple months, is just to kind of look back, you know, just pick like random episodes and just be like, wow, what were we reading last year? And being like, wow, it was either really good or, you know, how many times did we do Hot Garbage?
Yeah. State of the Union, like a State of the Union type, but like this time last year.
Yeah, we should probably do that middle of the way. So
yeah.
Great question, Paperweight. We'll come back to you in a couple of months with that one. Next up is Black Crown Comics. He was on the show last week with us. Actually, really good question. And I think he kind of got this because we were in a group chat. I was doing Scott Pilgrim versus the World and how amazingly hot Mary Elizabeth Winstead is in that movie. And just overall, I just love Ramona Flowers. But question from him is, what's your favorite comic book film soundtrack?
That, oh, dude, this is like so easy. So there's two answers. There's two answers, and then there's another answer. So listen, I'll break it down for you. The two answers for the best comic book soundtracks of all time, it's Daredevil with Ben Affleck and The Punisher with Thomas Jane. Those two albums are amazing. You can put those on and listen to every song in that album, minus maybe two. Maybe at most two songs, and they are bangers, like just fire albums. Like I recently, like me and my wife sit through, we had a road trip, and I was like, hey, you know what? Let's listen to the Daredevil soundtrack with Ben Affleck. Like, not a great movie, great soundtrack. Now, those are the two answers. Those are the only two answers. This is the Amazing Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man album, it's not bad. It had the Chad Kroger and the other Chad from Saliva, I think, the Hero song.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a good song.
Yeah.
But the album as a whole is not super strong, but those two are great. Now, the greatest soundtrack of all time, in my opinion. And I think you're going to agree with me. There may be some of them might have like their own opinions, but the greatest soundtrack of all time, Queen of the Damned. Horrible movie, fire soundtrack, like just insane soundtrack, Queen of the Damned. Like I will listen to that at least 20 times a year. Just on repeat. Like I love that.
Oh
album.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
wait, good. So yeah, because that was an Anne Rice novel.
Yeah. The movie's horrendous. It's arguably one of the worst movies of all time. Like it's just really bad. But
yeah. No, you know, Aaliyah, right? She was in it, right? That's who it was.
She was in it. That was right before she died.
But, yeah, that's right. All right. No, I agree on that. That was an amazing soundtrack. And because I know you know this, but in the entire movie version, Jonathan Davis of Korn sings all the songs.
Yes. Then,
but the soundtrack is those same songs, but done by the whoever did it, like Disturbed, Korn.
Yeah. You got David Draymond, Chester Bennington does one. Jay Gordon from Orgy does one. But then you also have like classic Deftones in there. You got Static X songs. So it's an amazing album. I mean, if you like rock, it's an amazing album. If you don't like rock, you're not gonna like it at all, probably. But that album is fire. But even you're right though, like you can go back and listen to the versions of the songs sung in the movie, with even the ones by Jonathan Davis are great, especially by Jonathan Davis.
Hell yeah.
Right. I feel like so, those are the only answers. I don't even know if there's there's like a rebuttal. Let's hear what you got. I don't know what you got.
I think you're going to be surprised, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised. The Watchmen soundtrack.
I'm going to have to look it up. I don't even know what's on that.
There's like three Bob Dylan songs.
Like 70s type songs.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix is in. Like, there are older songs, but still, it's like Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix, Simon Garfunkel. There's a My Chemical Romance song that's kind of like put in there. What else is in there? There's like a Billie Holiday song. I mean, all the big ones, like The Sound of Silence. You know, obviously that's used. The Times That Are Changing, the opening song by Bob Dylan. All Along the Watchtower, right? Like that, when they play that from Jimmy, like literally that is just
there's some hits.
And then like when Night Owls screw in What's Her Face, that Hallelujah song, you know, when he's up in the air.
Okay.
Like there's just every song is just, to me, is just like classic. That's like classic. Like it's a great comic book film. The songs go well with, you know, the time that it is. So
that's a good answer. And you're right. And these are all like, those are like classic songs. Those are like greatest hits, classic songs. So yeah, those are good. But I'm still not choosing that over.
That's fine. The Punisher is, I mean, what do you got?
Evanescence? The Evanescence song from Daredevil? I mean, that's when it first came out, man. I mean, that song alone can carry that album pretty much, you know?
Right, yeah. It's
fucking wild, dude.
What's the one in Punisher?
It's her. It's Amy Lee and the dude from Saliva.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
Bow Down is what it's called or something. Oh man.
Yeah. I could it's see so it good. And I can sing it, but I'm not going
to. Sing it. No, sing it. Do it.
No.
Don't just talk about it. Be about it.
No way. I did the snarf thing last week. I'm good with that.
I know. Let's keep this up. Let's keep up this tradition of Justin having
to do a cappella. So good question, Black Crown. And then one last question.
Broken.
Ah, that's what it is. Yes, it's
a Seether. Sorry, not Saliva.
Yes,
Seether featuring Amy Lee. Yeah.
Yes. And then last question. Unfortunately, I lost the person who sent it to me, but I think this is actually a really cool question. What are some comic book reads that you stopped picking up that you regret? So the way I kind of took this thing was, you know, something that we've been reading or have read and just kind of stopped picking up for whatever reason. I'm guessing that's kind of like the way the question is. So like maybe if it's a title that you kind of started picking up and you kind of fell off. So for myself, and it, you know, and again, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, whatever, a title that I really enjoyed that I just stopped reading for whatever reason, just because I guess so much that, you know, we were reading on a weekly basis was Grimm. I know the latest issue 16 came out this week. I am probably at least like six issues back, and I do really want to pick up. Like, I love the story. I loved Grimm. I love the whole death thing. There was just such a cool thing with the Grim Reaper and Jenny. It was an absolute awesome series from Stephanie Phillips. So it is definitely a series that I want to continue to go back and read all those issues that I am missing. But for whatever reason, I did fall off, and I regret it because it is a solid series. I love seeing like the guys over at Capture Collectibles and Nomos. They do these amazing variants done by like Derek Chu and other people. They're like so cool to see her just with the sickle and like the cool backgrounds. And I really want to go back and pick those up again. And I always see like Nomos on Whatnot, and he's selling like some of these variants. I'm like, man, I miss this series. So what about you, man?
So I think if there's one that kind of like I fell off and I wish I wouldn't, and now I'm like too far back, I've talked about it before. I'm a big Nightwing fan, and I was reading Nightwing since like, you know, what, New 52 restarted Nightwing. Yep. And I probably stopped a little before issue 100. I don't even know where we're at now, like 108, 107, maybe a little bit above 100, something like that. And every time I see it solicited, I'm always kind of like, oh man, maybe I should go back and like pick that up. But I was just getting too much at the time. And I think I think what I did was I listed the run on eBay and was just like, hey, look, I'll keep picking it up until it sells. And then it sold. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll stop picking it up now. But then I guess titles that I also, so that's one that I regret. And I probably should go back and read it because I do like Nightwing. And the stories were great. Like it had nothing to do with the writing at all. Two stories I've talked about how I thought was the Thrawn was just bad. I think after like, and I don't, maybe bad's not the right word. It wasn't bad writing because Zahn's a great writer. It just was not interesting. And I thought it was boring. I didn't like the way the story was told. So after like issue two, I stopped reading it and I just, you know, purchased them to keep the run going or whatever till it was done. And I found that I did that as well with Mace Windu this week. I picked it up. I read about two or three pages of it and I was like, dude, I just don't care about Mace Windu traveling around with this random person, like this little girl. Like I just was not interested and I just kind of skimmed the pages to see if anything interesting happened. And it's, I'll probably pick it up just to complete the run and then list and get rid of it. But
It's kind of, I'm not even picking up that series and Thrawn. I just, I gave up after issue one. Like, and like it's one or two. I think I stopped after. I like the Jango Fett. The first issue was good. And we're going to get into another title that's coming out as well for Star Wars. But yeah, I feel you on the, on some of these mini series that they're doing.
Yeah.
In the Star Wars universe.
The story's just not there. Like you got to come with a better story. Like, I mean, Mace Windu, this is the best story you could come up with in the period of Mace Windu. Like it's just not, I don't know. And I don't even know what he's doing. I can't even remember what his goal was. He went to this planet and he's looking for something and this girl has it and she's being sought after by the underworld or whatever. And it's just like a, almost like a buddy cop thing, but it's not a very interesting. So,
yeah, I hear you. So, good questions all around. And then we do have one more, but it's actually going to lead into, and it's actually, I appreciate that it was actually provided to us via topic. So, it's one of our articles for tonight. Yes.
Before we get into that, then, since it's going to lead into something, I want to give a shout out to, I don't know the IG name for whoever sent this, and I don't want to give his whole government name, but Matt sent us an email to the Comic-Con podcast a couple weeks ago with information about the area in Virginia where I'm living, about shops. And I mean, this dude broke it down. He broke it down like every shop in Richmond and Fredericksburg and Charlottesville, like all around the area. Great information. And I really appreciate it. He also put in some information for like local cuisine and restaurants and stuff in like the area. So Matt, I just want to say very much thank you. I don't know how long it took you. You obviously know that the area really well, but like it was very well-meaning and I really appreciate the time you took to give me this information for, you know, not really being from the area. So definitely excited to check out some of these places you put, especially the breweries. But yeah, man, I wanted to say thank you very much. It really meant a lot. So appreciate it.
Awesome. So real quick, sticking in the community, back-to-back weekends. This past weekend, I got invited to hang out and set up with our buddy Scott Palachek over at the Lehigh Valley Comic Con. So I planned on going anyway. It was a one-day show. I planned on going anyway just because it's about an hour away. I like the Bethlehem, Allentown area. And this year, it was set up at a different location. Last year, it was set up at like a college, a little bit of a smaller venue, I would say, even though it's like a college. But this time it was set up at their agro grounds. It's like right next to like this giant farmer's market over in PA in the Allentown area. But so Scott invited me. I got to set up with him. And I got to tell you, it is so different setting up with a writer and setting up with an artist. So, you know, like we had Ken, seeing like an artist, because I walk around Artist Alley, right? And you just see the artists, they're kind of just sitting there. They're typically working on commissions. They're typically just selling their art. When I was sitting with Scott, and you know, he's the writer of his book, Marcus, he is talking to everybody, like everybody that walks by. He's just like, hey, do you want to hear about an indie title? Hey, do you want to hear about an indie title? Let me tell you, I have read his book and I want to read it again. Like that's how much he, you know, talked about it. And, you know, and he's got his plug, just like when we talk about like the podcast, like the way that I would introduce this podcast or, you know, my job or whatever it is, but he was telling like everybody about it. And sometimes it would just change a little bit and he would show people the book and he would explain it. And it was very interesting to see people's faces because like I go to Comic Cons all the time and I'm definitely like that person who when like an indie writer asks me, hey, come check out my book. And I immediately turn and I see the book. And sometimes I don't like the art. I'm just like, eh, or I like see the characters. I'm like, eh, and I kind of walk away because there were some of those people. Right. But let me tell you, he crushed it. He sold at least like 25 copies of his book from 10 o'clock. And then he left early at 4 because he had to do something, family stuff. But he was just like on a roll, man. And, you know, he was definitely our hype man because like he would talk about his stuff and he'd be like, hey, if you want a cool podcast to check out this podcast. And then I'd kind of go into our spiel, like, you know, what we're about, what we do. Sometimes I would. I was speaking to somebody and I would say, hey, you know, check out this book. We've had Scott on, but it was a really cool convention all around, you know, 100%. I gotta thank Scott for, you know, letting me come there, letting myself show up, set up, you know, didn't really bring books. I brought obviously our Ahsoka book. I brought some shirts, some pins and, you know, and if anybody's new, that's listening, that's checking us out. Thank you for stopping by the booth. You know, check out our older episodes. If you really want to know about us, go all the way back to like the first episode of the podcast to learn about myself and my podcast partner, Zach, who wasn't there. So, you know, overall, and again, the show itself was a lot of fun. A lot of people in the community that I, you know, that we got to see at a couple of people that were set up at King Kong and then just people that I know, really cool just to stop by. So overall, great show. Cool. But really the biggest thing was having Scott there. And, you know, I told him, it was so funny. I told him, well, there's two things that I heard his speech so many times that I was like, man, I'm going to have a dream of being in like a war tonight. And I'm going to wake up and have some crazy nightmare of like RPGs, like flying by my face. And like these Roman centurions going to be battling it out in my dreams. And I told him if that happened, I'd be calling him Sunday morning and being like, dude, I'm never hanging out with you again because I've heard way too much about your book. So
that's awesome.
Issue one is out for the people that didn't get to hear him back in like September of last year. He was on here. You can check out issue one, either hit him up. You can check out the comic shop, Jaff Comics, J-A-F Comics in PA. They do have copies available on their website. Or if you're in the PA area, stop in. And he is producing issues 2 through 5 with them. Hopefully it'll be coming out in May, if not June. And then rolling.
Nice. Yeah, that was part of my question.
Yeah. So, and then yeah, Scott's the best. To kind of just, Scott was so much fun to hang out with. Like, you know, like you were hanging out with Ken at King Kong. It was cool just to hang out with him and just, you know, chit chat instead of like, and it was so tough for me to like, I was so trying to like hang out at the booth the entire time. But there were times I'm just like, I got to get away. I got to look at books. Right. But other than that, it was cool. You know, friend of the show, community member. So please go out. It was season 3, I want to say episode 37 in the mid-30s. If you check out our September episodes from last year, if you haven't heard that episode, go back and you'll really get a deep dive on Scott's book. And it was very cool to listen to. And like I said,
definitely get your hands on an issue of Marcus for sure.
Yeah. And it was, and it's cheap, guys. It's like $6. They do. Jaff does have an exclusive variant. It's $20. It's like limited to 500 copies, I think, but it's really cool. We highly recommend it. And the art, and I remember talking about it, the art's very much almost looking like Greg Capullo in black and white. Mm-hmm. So, and then just a funny thing that happened that I texted you and I texted our buddy, an older gentleman and woman, husband and wife, come up to the booth and we're just talking to them. And the gentleman goes, hey, he's like, oh, my nephew, he does art for DC Comics. We're like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, well, what's his name? And he just goes, V. Marion. And I'm like, V. Ken Marion? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, so wait. There's no way in the world, in the small world that I leave New Jersey. I go to PA. I go to a show I'm setting up. And his uncle and aunt are coming up to the booth. And I get to talk to these people. It was the coolest thing in the world. The smallest. So he told me about like this this Beanie Baby story that that Ken had, and obviously I texted Ken, and even Ken doesn't know this story, so he has to contact his uncle to ask him about what the Beanie Baby story was, because I guess it was when he was very, very young. So that was really cool.
That is cool.
And the Lehigh Valley Comic Con. And again, it's going to happen every year. It's a really cool show. So if you get a chance, nice one day show all day. There was tons of stuff to buy. And they had good artists and writers too. They had some good names. Lee Weeks was over there. Yuko Smith, Chris Campagna. There's a lot of people. Chrissy Zullo. So awesome show nonetheless. So out of the community section, let's kind of get into a real quick. I want to talk about this before we get into all the articles tonight. So the Fallout Amazon Prime TV show dropped last week. They dropped all 8 episodes. I talked about this after we got to see the trailer about a month or two ago. As a gamer, I recommend this show so much. Like so much. It is probably, without a doubt, the definitive of a video game series to live action that is untouchable. Like without it, like it is the fan service, the Easter eggs, just the story itself, the 3 different characters that the show introduces you to. You have a vault dweller, you have a ghoul, and then you have someone who is with the Brotherhood of Steel, and they're all the different factions. It is just such a cool and engaging story. By the time you reach episode 8 and everything kind of comes into one, you're just like, oh my God, I want season 2. And it was very weird that Amazon dropped these all at once. I think they were afraid that they didn't know what the series was going to be. So kind of drag it out for 2 months might have been tough. But man, I absolutely love this show. I love the video game series. I re-downloaded 4, and there's going to be an update to 4 in about a week or so. And I even downloaded 76, which is the online one, just to fool around with it. But overall, I'm not going to spoil anything. But if you were considering watching the show, if you have not watched the show, or if you did, let us know. But overall, Fallout was absolutely awesome. Like I loved it from front to back, from literally the opening credits to the end credits of episode 8. I would say Marcus, who's the Brotherhood of Steel, is probably the weakest character of them. The main character, Ella Perno, who plays Lucy, she's awesome. She's the Vault Dweller. And then you have what's his name?
Walter Goggins.
Oh God, dude. He's
great, dude.
You know what's crazy? He's a great actor in a lot of good movies, but never like a main character. He's always kind of like
not in movies, but in like Justified. He was the villain in Justified. Boy, he was Boyd Crowder in the TV show Justified. Amazing. One of the best TV shows like in the past couple decades, in my opinion. And his character kind of makes the show. So
he's
great.
He's very cool. Like he was in he was in Django Unchained, right? He's in Hateful Eight. He's in a couple of he played in a couple of movies. Obviously, he's the semi villain in Ant-Man, right? Ant-Man and the Wasp, the second one. He's the gangster guy.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, but overall, people, if you have not checked it out, or I would highly recommend it. It's 8 episodes, or about 50 minutes long. You could kind of blow through it. There's just so much fan service. I can't even tell you. There's probably at least over 100 Easter eggs, like from the things they do. Just like the way the vaults are set up, just the way the wasteland looks, the makeshift cities, everything from video game to live action was just perfect. I there's probably, Super Mario Brothers is probably the best animated. I would say this is the best live action, hands down. Like,
okay, better than Halo.
Yeah, better than Halo. And it's very weird because you would think that this movie would need a lot of CGI for certain things, but I think they've kind of trimmed the budget, and it was a lot of, practical stuff.
Cool.
But highly check out the Fallout series. So let's kind of get into some articles before we talk about our weekly reads. Again, this is kind of coming part of the community section, so shout out to Mike the Beast Benson. He actually provided this article to us, and I didn't see this one until he did send it to us. So this one's coming over from bloodydisgusting.com. Werewolf by Night returns this summer in a brutal Red Band series from Marvel Comics. So in the wake of the Halloween special of Disney Plus's back in 2022, Marvel Comics is bringing their Werewolf by Night back to life with a brand new Red Band. That's right, Red Band comic book series. So what does that mean? Marvel Previews says this summer, Werewolf by Night embarks on a new adventure so violent and bloody it can only be told in a new Red Band format. Now, I think this is a great starting point because I think there's a lot of series that probably could go into this Red Band series. I think Carnage could go in there. I think a good version of Venom could go in there, but not anymore. Green Goblin could as well. But this is going to be a new ongoing series written by Jason Liu. And of course, the upcoming one shot that we're going to see in the Blood Hunt and drawn by artist Sergio Del Villa, known for his bold work on titles such as Venom and Thor. So we're going to get the one shot with the Blood Hunt stuff. But after that, we're going to get some Jack Russell coming back for Werewolf by Night. This comes out in August. I am super excited to see how crazy this is going to get because we know, obviously, werewolf characters, they can get very violent. The fact that it's going to be under this new like imprint Red Band series is going to be phenomenal. And like I said, I think if this does well, I think you're going to see a lot more titles kind of flash into a Red Band series for Marvel. Zach, what are your thoughts on this?
I think this is awesome. I mean, they had the... Maybe it was... this time last year, maybe that's the answer to Paperweight. They had a Werewolf by Night one shot like last year sometime. I can't remember when that came out. You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe it was a couple years ago now at this point.
Well, they did that mini, right?
It was just a one shot.
No, well, I'm thinking of the other Werewolf by Night, not Jack Russell. Remember, there was another one.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I'm thinking. Taboo. Yeah.
Yes. There was that series, but I don't remember the one shot they did. Okay.
Yeah. After that, they did a one shot and it was good. And it looks like, honestly, and I'm not shitting on this theme that they're doing, but it's very much the same. It was Werewolf by Night, Jack Russell, and Elsa Bloodstone, which, you know, obviously is what we got in the TV show as well. And I think that's a good look. I mean, start somewhere, you need two characters. And obviously Elsa's a great character as well. But, you know, I really enjoyed that one, the previous one shot. I would like to see this. They're saying this is a one shot as well, correct?
No, this is going to be ongoing.
Good. Okay. So I really hope it does well. Because I think there's a lot to explore with the Werewolf by Nights or with the werewolf genre in general. Like, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Blood Hunt, right? Like Marvel keeps going back to the vampire stuff, keeps going back, and it's like the water of it keeps refilling. But they don't explore the werewolf stuff, you know? Like, the most Werewolves by Night we had was back in like the Midnight Suns type days, maybe, you know, that was like strong. You could really beef this up and you can really go into more of the monster era. Like, you know, even the Hulk title right now is really themed towards like monsters, right? So I don't know, dude. I think this is a good look. You know, I think Marvel should lean into both the Red Band stuff like you're talking about, but also we keep saying it, lean into the supernatural and kind of group these characters together, like the Ghost Riders, if you want to put Hulk there, the Werewolf by Nights, the Blades had it ongoing for 10 issues now. Like, yeah, dude, I'd like to see this and I'd like to see it be successful and, you know, keep going. But
yeah, so the way this is starting off, Marvel's premier horror icon will undergo a startling transformation during Blood Hunt that will cause his upcoming battles and hunts to be too graphic for some readers, labeled with a parental advisory and polybagged to keep those weak of heart from experiencing its intensity. Like, that's pretty crazy. Cool. Like, when was the last time, like, DC does some polybags for no reason at all? When was the last time, other than like the Marvel Fortnite, just because there's the codes that they've done like a polybag book.
Right? I mean, I'm sure I'm wrong, but all I can think of is like Ultimate Fallout.
Yeah, I would think that, but like the fact that it's because it's so violent, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the 90s always had the cards, so that, I mean, people are gonna think, oh, the X-Force stuff. Like,
I'm making a total wild assumption here, but like, and you kind of mentioned it with Carnage. Like, I have to think that like maybe the success that like Torin had with the Carnage run and how violent it was and how well it's selling probably is Marvel's like, maybe we got something here. You know, maybe we can explore this. And you know, Marvel likes those dollar bills. So like, they're always going to explore that kind of avenue. And I think it's a good thing, dude. Like, I would love to see this. We talked about I think we briefly talked about like the Max series. That was kind of like this back in like the early 2000s, right? Like Max. Mm-hmm. I would like to see this, dude. You bring in Moon Knight. Moon Knight is really strong supernatural right now. You have a ton of vampires. You have Tigra. You have Moon Knight. Like, that's very supernatural. There's a whole genre there, that pocket universe, that needs to be explored more. So let's do it. I'm all for it. I'm crazy to see what like variants might come out with this. It could be some really cool ones.
Yeah. So for those, like I said, wondering, it comes out on August 14th after the Blood Hunt stuff. So be on the lookout for Werewolf by Night, August 14th. No variants have been announced, but again, ongoing series is going to be the first of the Red Band series. And again, hopefully more to come, and maybe it'll be more horror stuff. So maybe, hell, yeah, maybe we could get Ghost Rider in there at some point, because with the current series that's going on, it's kind of on that cusp as well. And obviously, right, like you said, with Torn, what she's writing with Carnage, we could get there. So next up, why don't you take us into another article with Marvel Comics?
Yeah, so we've got over here from Marvel.com. So Annihilation 2099 gives rise to a new empire that reshapes the Marvel cosmos. So this July, Steve Orlando's latest 2099 saga sees the cosmic side of 2099 explode with an all new 2099 heroes and villains. So 2099 obviously has kind of came back. We've had the Miguel O'Hara Spider-Man 2099 run. And also there's been a lot. They're now publishing actually omnibuses for the bulk of the 2099 like titles. I know the Spider-Man's come out. I've seen X-Men. I think I just pre-ordered Ghost Rider, and I think Doom as well. So 2099 is kind of picking up some heat. So very interesting, though. This is a little different, right? You're taking a storyline, Annihilation, very, very successful. One of Marvel's probably best storylines in the recent future since the 2000 era. Revitalize the cosmic world that we've talked about many, many times. And you're bringing it over to 2099, where previously there wasn't much cosmic in the 2099 universe. So this is kind of fun. And it's a little different. So it's not going to be, I think the story is going to kind of like go throughout the titles, but each title is going to kind of focus on a different character, so to speak. So releasing weekly throughout July, get ready to meet Nova 2099, Star-Lord 2099, Red Hulk 2099, Silver Surfer 2099, and witness the return of Dracula 2099. So Annihilation number one is going to come out, and it's a new Nova story. They titled it like, Who is the Last Nova? So I'm not going to read through the synopsis on all this, but the first issue is going to deal with Nova, and it's going to have a little backup issue that's going to kind of bring you into the Dracula story set up for the following Annihilation issue. Number two is going to focus on Star-Lord 2099. It follows a Wakanda tech goddess who ends up with becoming the title or bearing the title of Star-Lord. And she's going to be going up against none other than Quasar, the living star. Issue number three comes out, and it's going to be focusing on Red Hulk 2099. So the Rage of the Red Hulk. Explorer Ross Romero's team ends up mining Ego, the living planet. But what makes him transform into the all new Red Hulk? So also going up against Terex, the Planet Hunter. So some characters we know there. And just like true 2099 fashion, it's a little twist on each character, right? So It's not Thunderbolt Ross, it's Ross Romero, whoever that guy is. And then you got Silver Surfer 2099 issue 4. So this is a little different take. You got Jonah Marlowe, who's going to make a Faustian deal with Mephisto and become the Silver Surfer and trying to collect souls around the galaxy. In the final issue, number 5, is going to be focusing on our boy Dracula 2099. So it calls it First Contact with the Impaler. So it's like Dracula in space, man, which I couldn't be more excited for. Like, this sounds really cool. And I love how each one of these issues has like the main character, but then they throw in like, you know, a legacy Marvel type situation. And in this one, you also have Dracula going up against a Darkhawk. So really cool stuff. I think this will be really fun. If you were a 2099 fan, I mean, there's nothing more 90s than the 2099 imprint, really. And I'm pretty excited for this. So I think it'll be cool. What about you, man?
You know what? I think the Annihilation run is amazing. I think this should have stayed in an Annihilation. I don't think we need a 2099 version. I know that's Marvel's thing. Like, let's just put every character into 2099
right.
as we draw closer. But I don't think this is going to be successful. Like, it's weird how they're doing
it. So I'm not entirely sure it's following like an Annihilation story.
Yeah, but you know, like that's what it is.
It's highlighting cosmic.
You're highlighting the cosmic thing, but maybe if they should have just picked like one character, like don't do five characters in a 5-issue mini. I mean, the Dracula thing is cool because I'm a Darkhawk fan from the 90s. Like, who isn't a Darkhawk fan from the 90s, right? And then obviously he just was amazing in Annihilation and post that. But right. I don't know, man. I just the Nova 99, the Star Lord. I don't know if I can do it, man. Like, I get it. I'm glad it's only 5 issues. I thought it was going to be like Annihilation 1-5, 2099. And then each of these characters were either going to get one shots or they were going to get their own little like mini series.
Like a 1-4, like Annihilation did. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. That's before I got through the whole article as I was reading it. I thought that's where they're going to go. So it's not that much. It's 5 issues. I get it. But as far as like, you know, introducing new characters, like it's like the cop out, right? It's just like, we'll skip ahead like 70 years and we'll get, you know, we'll just give you a 2099 character. So,
I mean, I do get the, it feels like maybe a little bit like a cheat by them saying Annihilation and not being like an Annihilation storyline. It's just, they're using the title Annihilation to draw your interest, but
yeah, but it's like a crutch. It's a crutch for like older readers like you or I and other people that know like the Annihilation storyline and how good it was. It's just
right.
Let's just do this. Like, cause I'm sure there's tons of other cosmic storylines that they could have picked, but I get it. It's more in modern. It's more of a modern storyline than like in an Infinity Gauntlet type of thing. Right. Like you could have had like Warlock 2099 or obviously you're getting Silver Surfer or Thanos 2099. We'll see what happens.
I don't know. I'm excited. I'll give it each issue a try and see how it goes. But
I'm going to read it. Don't get me wrong. I will read them.
I don't know if I'll be purchasing them.
I will read them and let you know if they're hot garbage or if they're actually good. But I just think it is a cop out for Marvel to just do this way. Do it this way. So
yeah.
All right. Well, so
time will tell. We'll see how it goes. That's what. July, yeah, July,
yeah, comes out. Everything is there's man, they have so much. People are gonna be broke during the summer, I guess. There's just so much coming out. I guess speaking of another title coming in July, as we're just running these shows, this is gonna switch over a little bit for the Marvel stuff. So, over at StarWars.com, they just announced a new Inquisitors miniseries. So, The Hunt for the Jedi is on in Marvel Star Wars Inquisitors, an exclusive. The Jedi cannot help who they are. The compassion leaves a trail. And we know that quote from Obi-Wan. So the Grand Inquisitor's words in Obi-Wan form in the cold heart of Marvel's upcoming Star Wars Inquisitors, a miniseries kicking off July 3rd from writer Rodney Barnes and artist Roman Rosana. The Inquisitors follows the Jedi hunters of the Empire as they narrow in on a new target, Tenso Ro. So there's a new character, survivor of Order 66, looking to spread hope and rebuild the Jedi Order. He has won the attention of Darth Vader, who's determined to kill this character. Check out obviously you guys can't see it, but we got some covers from Nick Bradshaw, and there's actually going to be one coming out from Wall Simonson, which is actually very interesting. So I love the Inquisitors, obviously big, huge Star Wars Rebels fan. I enjoyed them for the most part in the Obi-Wan series, but this is going to be something that I feel like this is perfect for the Inquisitors because we did not get enough in the time that we really got to see them in Darth Vader Volume 2. I always go back to it. It's still the best read of all the Marvel stuff. But, you know, other than the brief stint that we get to see the Grand Inquisitor in, like, I don't know, like there's some of the Star Wars adventures from like IDW and just the retelling of the Obi-Wan series. Like there's never been like a cool just Inquisitor story. Like we've gotten it, but it was more on like the Darth Vader stuff. And he was like the main character. But here I'm thinking like whether it's a 4 or 5 issue miniseries, they don't really talk about it. They just kind of say it's a solo series. I'm going to guess it's like 4 or 5, kind of like Mace Windu, kind of like everything else that they've been putting out. But I think this is going to be an interesting thing because, again, this is a perfect time period, obviously, after the prequels, before the original trilogy, just an awesome time to be a Jedi, right?
Not an awesome time to be a Jedi at all.
Hiding in fear.
Worst time. I'm excited for this title too. And like you said, the Inquisitors have been talked about. You've seen them in all kinds of medium and form. We haven't really got fleshed out stories, so to speak, on each one. I mean, like you said, the Darth Vader Volume 2. Honestly, I would probably go as far to say Jedi Fallen Order and Survivor has given us more fleshed out Inquisitors than we've seen in even Rebels and comics. So I'm excited to see like a series really focus on and kind of delve into these characters and give us a little bit more. And who knows, is it going to lead into the, mind blank, the Tales of the Jedi coming out here soon? Like, cause we
well, know that'll come out first. Yeah. That'll come out first. Comes out in May. So we'll get
some bonus maybe because we're going to be meeting some new Inquisitors or maybe seeing some old ones, you know, and it'll beef that up a little bit as well. So I'm excited for this title. I think this will be a fun one and I hope they do it well. Hopefully it'll be better than like Mace Windu and Thrawn one. But yeah, I want to know more about them. And I want to see them not focus so much on the Grand Inquisitor, right? Like that's the one we know the best. So let's move on, start showing us some other ones.
If it's a quick story, it's probably going to be a group effort. I would assume. Right. I don't want them to just focus on like the main, obviously, the Grand Inquisitor. You know, the main cover kind of shows the fifth brother, the third sister, and I can't think who's the sister from Jedi Fallen Order.
Seer's apprentice.
No, the big Hulkling looking one.
Oh, yeah. The one who like gets,
that one.
So
that's on the one that's on the cover as well. So, but it looks cool. I'm excited to see more of the Inquisitor stuff. So,
yeah.
And again, sticking with Marvel, we got another Marvel July. Comics. Yeah.
And that's coming out in July. Yeah. So,
and look at all this stuff we're talking about.
July is going to be a wild month, man. Marvel launches a second monthly Daredevil series starring Elektra. So Marvel launches second monthly Daredevil series starring Elektra, Daredevil Woman Without Fear, number one in July. So this is going to come off of Daredevil issue number 11 in July. It's going to kind of be a prelude to Elektra's solo venture. She's going to face off against Crossbones, the new Punisher, and reflect on her journey as Daredevil. So this is going to be written by Erica Schultz and Michael Dowling. And it's going to be taking place in Madripoor as well, which is kind of a different scene and venue for this character. But I'm pretty excited about this. I liked the Daredevil Woman Without Fear stuff. I didn't feel like, and I mean, people might be surprised with me saying that I like this because oftentimes I do talk about how I don't like characters like, just taking over the mantle or something. Right. But I felt like this made sense when Daredevil went to jail that Elektra would become Daredevil and we've seen this before. Danny Rand became Daredevil when Matt Murdock went away for a little while. So we've seen people pick up the Daredevil mantle and like kind of still protect Hell's Kitchen. And I think it's super interesting to see someone like Elektra, who is a killer, follow the rules of Daredevil. And now she's kind of like leaning into her and she's kind of feeling it. And she's really kind of embraced it. So I'm excited about this title. I think it's just a 5-issue series. We'll see how it goes. And then I'm sure she'll bounce back over to the ongoing Daredevil written by Saladin Ahmed, which is great as well. Super strong title. I'm looking forward to this. Crossbones, I want to see what they're going to do. It'll be interesting to see what Joe Garrison is, the new Punisher. Not a lot of risks, though, like kind of what you said earlier, like with Marvel, right? I mean, Daredevil, who does she go up against? Oh, she goes up against the Punisher, right? Just like Daredevil kind of in the comics as well. So, I don't know. I'd like to see a little bit more risks. Crossbones is an interesting character. I don't know what the history, I don't remember a very strong history between these two. And he's a very street level type character. So that's cool. And Madripoor as a scene is very awesome. So yeah. What do you think, dude?
Definitely going to check it out. And like you said, I think more so on like what you said about like characters picking up the mantles, right? I think Elektra is the perfect character to do this. You know, we've seen this in, you know, DC, you know, sometimes we've seen it like with the Batman and the Batman family. Like it's never like, oh, well, there's this new random character that's going to be Daredevil. It's someone who's so close to the family of, you know, this character, or just the culmination of having like you said, like Danny Rand, obviously close street level character. Elektra been there forever.
Right.
So I'm excited to have her still stick around, you know, seeing this like kind of like an evolution of the character, right? Because you know, we've seen her in the ongoing. She held her own. They had the Woman Without Fear like miniseries, and now she'll get another one, basically. So I'm excited. Yeah,
it doesn't feel like one of those things also like, oh, hey, it doesn't feel woke, right? It's not like they're like, hey, let's make Daredevil a woman. Like it's not like that. It is this feels more organic, you know, because of the character. I mean, solely because of the character. Like Elektra has the history with Daredevil. She has that street level. You can see this swap. It wasn't like they were just like, it's not, I mean, even like the Punisher stuff. It's like, hey, well, let's get an ex-Shield guy and make him the Punisher. You know, it's not like they just picked up some random girl. Now she's Daredevil. It makes sense. And so it doesn't rub me the wrong way in the way that like, it feels like the other times they're patronizing with that kind of stuff, but I'm excited for it. I love Daredevil. So the more, the merrier.
Nice. So yeah. And when's that? That's another July book. So all July books from Marvel on top of everything else that'll be happening over the summer between X-Men, Venom War, Venom Reborn. Jesus, there's so much stuff that we're going to have a fun time reading over the summer. So.
Yep.
All right. So other than the articles, let's get real quick into what are we currently reading, current reads, whether they're old, new, and different. Obviously, we're recording on a Wednesday, so I didn't get a chance to pick up everything, but I did get to read a decent amount of stuff. I still have a whole little stack over here to read. So we'll start off with, this is a tough one, man. There's a lot more good stuff this week. I'm sure you're going to talk about it, so we'll kind of talk about it. Let's start it off together. Avengers Twilight 5.
Yeah, good.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid title. This is just, and you know what? I know like the whole issue, and we've talked about it every issue of how it's propaganda, the government, it's kind of like what's going on with our times. And a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, that's not true. You know, the whole, just like the whole left, the whole right thing. But you got to realize that like, Captain America for the longest time has always been a political book. So like this book being a political book in our times makes sense.
Yeah.
Red Skull just kicking ass, the whole idea of the Avengers and what H-Day represents, and Jesus, man, that ending to this. Mm-hmm. Ooh, all right. Boy, I cannot wait for this.
You know, I knew it was coming somehow. But I didn't know how they were going to work it in. Especially with Stark being found like kind of alive somewhat, I guess.
You had to have in a way these different characters like put in.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of like how some people push the pre-order of, oh, it's the first appearance of the new depiction of Hawkeye. Like nobody cares. Yeah.
Like I love these Alex Ross covers though.
Well, yeah, they're badass. I agree. They're badass. Other than Avengers 5. I'll kind of go with Ultimate Black Panther 3. I thought that was a solid issue.
I haven't read that one yet.
Okay. So this kind of, I love the design. I love the art is very good in the Ultimate Black Panther series. Obviously, you know, the Ultimate Spider-Man is number one. This is number two, and that terrible X-Men title is far, far back on the list.
Hurts.
But you know, you got T'Challa, he kind of goes off looking for something because obviously with the whole Moon Knight War, the name of like the Moon Knight thing?
Khonshu?
Khonshu, yeah. Yes, the whole Khonshu War, yeah. So he leaves and you have like this really good interaction. I just love the way these characters are built now because like it kind of starts off with Okoye and his sister Shuri and like there's just so more different than they are in the 616 universe. Like they just seem so much more like down to earth, more powerful, more determined than I feel like they are in the 616 universe. But
yeah,
in this issue you kind of have T'Challa, he goes to find what's going on with this war. That's Moon Knight's trying to look for this power and runs into Killmonger, and Killmonger is with Storm. So I'm wondering if that's how we're going to get that introduction of like why there's that character that's in the X-Men. Like, is it their kid, Storm and Killmonger's? I don't know. But I like how Killmonger is very similar to his counterpart in the 616. Like, he did grow up in Wakanda, but he left because he doesn't like the whole technology thing. he kind of feels like there's things that are going on in the outside world that need to be dealt with. And it's very similar to what we've seen in the movies and what Killmonger represents as a character in the 616. So I did enjoy that. And it does kind of, it's going to lead up to something in the next issue. We'll kind of see where it goes. Other than that book,
reading Cobra Commander.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Holy Jesus. All right. So normally I know this would probably be pick of the week. Thank you. This would be pick of the week, but I got to pick something other than the Energon universe every week when we're talking.
I know.
About
it. It's so good though.
Yeah, I know. It's so good.
It's so good.
So good. Just people, if you're not reading it, that just go and read it. I'm not going to talk about it anymore, but I do want to talk about my pick of the week. And it's kind of two, it's like a two part issue. It's still continuing. Last week it came out was Action Comics 1064. This week's issue was Superman 13. It's called the House of Brainiac storyline. And Brainiac is such a badass character that anytime they put him in a storyline, I have to read it. Ever since like the Jeff Johns, Gary Frank Brainiac series, like in the mid 2000s, I have to read a Brainiac story. He's just so badass. This one kind of has Brainiac coming to Earth with Lobo. So like, you know how Lobo is supposed to be like the last of his kind. Somehow they found a ton more of his kind and they're working with Brainiac. And Brainiac is trying to collect not only just, you know, Superman, because in pretty much in these two series, like the Super Family is all in Metropolis. You have him collecting villains that are like that have shown up in these first couple of issues, but in the beginnings of the Superman. So you have like Banshees in there, Livewire, Parasite, and you come to find out that the House of Brainiac has more to do with, I would say, a family, and you'll find out more after issue 13 of Superman. So the Brainiac stuff is just so badass, and I highly recommend, you know, if you're not picking up Superman or the Action Comic stuff, just pick up this and see where this storyline goes. I don't know how many issues it's going to kind of go back and forth, but the 1064 Action Comics and Superman 13 had a cool like connecting covers, so that was really awesome. But that would be my pick of the week, is the Superman storyline. And I know Paperweight always said to continue reading the Superman stuff. And I did read the beginnings and I stopped, but then I started picking it up again. And I had to actually, when this issue came out, I actually had to go. I was like, I can't read this because it says part two. So I actually had to go and grab Action Comics to read this. And it was a very solid two issues so far. So that's my pick of the week. Nice. What about you, man?
Let's see. There was some good books that came out this week. So an honorable mention, and I think I kind of talked a little bit of trash on it relatively recently, was the Thor run. So I haven't been crazy about the Thor run recently and like the story. And it's wild because it's, you know, Immortal Thor and it's Al Ewing. And so I thought it was going to be really good. And it's kind of just been a little whatever. And then they had solicited that it was like, so part one of the stories going on in Thor is obviously one of the big bads currently is the Minotaur, Dario Agger as the Minotaur. And he's kind of teamed up with Executioner and Enchantress. And there's this whole idea that like they're trying to push this multimedia story of Thor through like comics and Enchantress magic to kind of like depower Thor somewhat. And so we knew that it was coming. And I thought it was actually going to be like a mini series, like a whole like break in the story. It was going to be this thing called Roxxon Presents, you know, in like a different age, the Roxxon Age of Comics. So they have this issue. It's a one shot. It's Roxxon Presents Thor. I was not really, I didn't have high hopes for this issue. And then I read it. And honestly, it's very humorous and there's a lot going on in this. And, you know, the art's by Greg Land. And there's so many things that are like kind of quietly great about this book. It just is really making fun of itself. Even Greg Land's art is like making fun of himself. You know how he always draws like women in bikinis and all sexy. Mm-hmm. And like, so of course he does that with Enchantress in this book. So all you creepers, if you want, go ahead and pick up that book for that reason. But there's also just like throughout the book, it's very commercialized. Like, so Thor's hammer says Roxxon on it. He's called Roxxon Presents Thor. He's giving shout outs to like Roxxon products throughout the whole thing. Like, oh, this is almost as good as the Roxxon energy drink, you know, and stuff like that. It's really like corny, but it also like really makes fun of like the world, both the world in comics and the real world as well. So like, I mean, you have a shout out for like the Cybertruck from Tesla. Tesla Cybertruck's in this, and they make fun of it. They're really making fun of like people who are campaigning against capitalism, like young kids. Like they really talk about all these like young, hey, they call them the ungrateful children, and throughout the whole book, hey, these young kids, they don't know what they're doing, and they're out there protesting, and they have signs that say like, down with stuff. Good things are bad, actually. Thor makes me sore. Like, and it just highlights these people who are like, look, right now there's a ton of protesters for everything in the world. Yep. And if you ask them, if you went up to someone and you asked them like, yeah, well, tell me about the topic. They don't know what the hell they're talking about or why they're there. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the zeitgeist of the moment right now. And so it's funny because that kind of happens in the book. And even like the evil Loki is pushing like climate change and stuff like that, which they're like, it's not true. And I don't know. It's just, it's kind of funny, man. Like I really, cool. I really thought it was kind of funny. But it's stupid. It's really stupid. But Greg Land's art's great. And I don't know. Nice. It was moderately enjoyable. What else did I like? You know, I haven't really thought too highly of the Hulk series, but they did put out Marvel's doing giant size issues right now. Giant size Hulk came out first. There's going to be giant size X-Men coming out next, like little one shots. This giant size Hulk was not too bad. I actually kind of like enjoyed it. I was like, okay, this is a pretty cool little story. It moved quick. There's not a lot of dialogue in it. And the cover price, of course, is $6.99. But it was a decent Hulk story. So not horrible. Cobra Commander, great. Like Justin said, I'm not going to talk about it every week. Like we could really talk about the Energon universe every week. But
oh, God, so good.
Titans is good. I'm enjoying Titans. I like the storyline that they're doing with Trigon. And yes.
I had it like on here, but I figured let's see if you talk about it.
Yeah, it's good. And I'm glad that Tempest joined the team, like officially, like Wally West has gone on his own mission for something else. And Tempest is there. And I've talked about that previously, how I wish he would be included more in the books. But I like the way the story's going. It's got good pacing and it's not like super heavy on like the Raven stuff, but it's still strong. But I'm enjoying that.
It's interesting but to I have think, like Trigon and his many kids. Like
this yeah, issue kind yeah, of revolves I like that around take
Trigon,
as well.
Like Trigon's son slash Raven's brother.
Trilogy. Yeah. Yes. There's some crazy things that happen in this issue. But yeah, that was a good one. But I think my pick of the week, man, is going to be Ghost Rider Final Vengeance, number 2 by Benjamin Percy. So as we saw in the first issue, the Spirit of Vengeance latches onto the Hood. And so at the start of this issue, it's now the Hood is the current holder of the Spirit of Vengeance. And he is just going around and, you know, kind of wreaking havoc. But it's really interesting because Johnny Blaze's Ghost Rider is like this, you know, oh, I don't want to be this. Oh, I got to like punish people or whatever. Right. And so he's kind of this like unwanted carrier of the Ghost Rider throughout his whole tenure as the Ghost Rider for the most part. The Hood, not so much. He's like, bet, but let's do this. I'm in Chicago. Let me get power. So it's kind of like, I kind of enjoy this take and I'm a massive Ghost Rider fan. So this is definitely a sidestep on traditional Ghost Rider stories. And it's where you have like these heroes who don't really want this power and they're not using it for like, you know, selfish gain. But the Hood is all about that. So Hood's like, yo, I'm in Chicago. Let's take out these mob bosses. Let's get some power going. And he teams up. He goes and like, so he can feel sin and like evil throughout the city. So he tunes into this, like, funny that we're talking about this. He tunes into a group of vampires, like a house of vampires. And it's basically like this. It's basically the scene from Blade 2. Or no, sorry, Blade One, where he walks into like the you know the techno club, and stuff. Yeah. It's like that the club that's like going on in the issue, and Hood like rolls on in and basically says, "Yo, let's team up. Like, I'm gonna get people, and you can feed off of them, and let's cause some trouble and like grab some power." So I think it's kind of cool. And then at the end, we see the return of Zeb to trying to look for Johnny Blaze, and we saw Johnny Blaze is in a bad situation at the end of issue one. And Zeb is feeling that they're, yo, something's out of whack because the Hood obviously has a Spirit of Vengeance. And so we'll see. So Johnny Blaze ain't gone. We know he's coming back. I'd like to see Talia Warroad show back up. I'd love to see some Danny Ketch show back up. But for right now, I'm cool with the Hood as Ghost Rider. I want to see how this develops. I think it's pretty sweet, and he's got a badass look. I mean, he's got the spikes coming out of the shoulders. He's got the cape and everything. I mean, it was good. Yeah.
I do like how it's very symbiotic, right?
It's very similar to that. Yeah.
Right. It's almost like instead of it just being, you know, Johnny Blaze, don't want to turn into it, but he's always like, he's almost talking to this manifestation of the Ghost Rider in his head. Yeah, it was a good issue. I enjoyed it
as well too.
Yeah, there's
a good Mephisto link, which kind of doesn't really show up very often in the most recent Ghost Rider storylines, I feel like. So
there was that one scene where he's like goes into the diner and like he touches the girl and like tells her all the things that she did wrong, and it was cool. It was a good issue.
Yeah, I'd also like to see some kind of blend of, maybe I'm showing a lack of knowledge here too. I'd like to see some blend. I don't know where the hood stands with his powers that he has, like with the hood and the boots and all that. Like, I want to see some combination of the Ghost Rider powers with the hood powers. It'd be really cool. Some kind of, in Final Fantasy lingo, some synergy abilities, if you will.
Yeah, I know. We haven't really seen him fight. He just got it, right? At the end of issue one, he like just got it. It was like that one panel. We're like, oh, okay. That's how we're starting this off. And then this issue is him building, him building a headquarters in a way with the vampires. Mm-hmm. So, good stuff. So, good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah.
Good week. So that's it. There's definitely, and there's so much stuff that I didn't get a chance to read. I know Animal Pound 3 came out. I still got to grab that one. And there's two other books that are on my list that I just didn't get a chance to read. I know Prism 6 came out this week. I think I saw that. You talked about that series. So that's it for this week, everybody. Season 4, episode 16. Not much going on other than, of course, upcoming. Check us out. Follow me on Whatnot. I have a nice Whatnot show coming up for May the 4th for all you Star Wars heads. We'll be back next week. Any other upcoming shows? Anything else?
I think that's it for now. I mean, obviously, Terrificon and on the radar towards the end of summer, but
Three Men in a Basement. There's some things that actually dropped over the weekend. So Three Men in a Basement next month, I will be at, we are one of the sponsors over there. And then over in August, the beginning of August, the BX Comic Expo over in the Bronx. Your boys at the Comic-Con podcast are also one of the top tier sponsors. So, I'll most likely be over there because it's easy for me to get to, unlike Zach. So, two upcoming shows. Hopefully, I'll be able to be even maybe set up over there as well. We'll see what happens going forward.
I forgot to talk about one more book, and I'll make it real quick.
Go ahead.
The other book, it hasn't came out yet. So, we got a reader copy of this book. It's Ain't No Grave from Image Comics coming out.
Save that. Can you save that? I'm like halfway through it.
Okay. Please. We'll save it to next week. I'm going to tell everyone, though, keep it on your radar. Ain't No Grave by Scotty Young and Jorge Corona. We'll talk about it next.
That's it. Thank you for all the existing listeners. And if anybody's new this week, like we said, thank you so much for stopping in at the Lehigh Valley Comic Con and checking us out. And again, check out some of our older episodes. We have artists, writers on there. We have community members and the two of us just ranting every week. So if you like us, continue to follow us. If not, thanks for listening at least to one episode.
Consider your follows regardless, even if you don't like us. Just do it.
Do it. And our sponsor, of course, Sidekick Supplies, getting us out of here. Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.